The text verse for the sermon this morning is verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. When I read this in the week, I thought really a long time about it. And I thought, how do we as Christians shape our society? But then it dawned on me, we do not shape our society anymore. No, unfortunately, society shapes us as Christians. Society dictates to us how we must raise our children, how we ought to live our lives, and how to behave, and how to be ethically responsible. But this phenomenon is not new at all. In fact, in Paul's day, the church faced some of the same dilemmas we are currently facing today. Their society did not tolerate Christianity. They didn't want to hear anything about this God who came in Jesus Christ, who suffered and was resurrected. They were not interested in this God. They had their gods. They had their ways of worship. Their ways of worship was much more fun. And they had their ways of life. So in many respects, when these words were written down and the people first heard it, I think a lot of them started to laugh. Because this was a joke. Because their society dictated almost an opposite set of rules and values. Because in their society, it was all about honor and shame. And you would never ever give away your honor. You had to defend your honor at all costs. Because your honor was all that you had. They didn't worry about money. Not to have honor was regarded as shameful. But now Paul writes to these Christians in Rome to tell them that there's another set of values that must play a part in their lives. And he starts off by the Old Testament, which said, you must love God. And then in the New Testament, when Jesus said, this is the most important commandment, love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. They must indeed love. And when they love God, they will love their neighbor and they will honor someone else more than they honor themselves. And when they love God, they will live according to his will. Then they will be generous to all people. They will be hospitable. And hospitable in the sense in the biblical times. To be hospitable in those times meant that you would receive people in your house at no cost. You would give to that person everything you have. You would share with them all your wealth, all your money, all your food. You would have nothing when they are in your house. You would even defend them with your life when it's a time of trouble and war. And now Paul says, that is exactly what is expected from people who love God. And they must not prosecute other people. They must rather think of God and his judgment. They must leave it to God. Whenever there is disagreement, they must leave it in the hands of God. They must trust God with that. God will be the judge. And they must be sensitive to the needs of other people. In those days, weeping was seen as a proper expression of sympathy, just like rejoicing was a proper way of expressing happiness. They must be happy with other people. They must weep when they weep. They must put themselves in other people's shoes. And they must live in harmony with all people. They mustn't do what the Greeks did. The Greeks only thought of humbleness as those people who were beneath them. They were the ones who ought to be humble. The people that lived on the margins of their society. Now Paul says, but that's not true. When they love God, they will be humble. They will be including even the shameful, even those that lives on the margins of society. They would even include the people that had less honor than themselves, even if it meant that they would be shameful in the eyes of their society. But because they love God, their values must be different. And they must not take revenge. They must not at all times overplay their power in this world. They must leave it to God. They must live like people who have seen the light, who started in Bethlehem. To love God means to love their fellow people and go against what their society dictated to them. In a sense, our reading today is like an instruction manual on how to behave as an everyday Christian. And I do not know how many of you have read a manual before, but I'm not going to ask the men, because I'm sure no man in this church has ever read a manual, because that's not what we do. This week, when I did wedding preparation with a couple, I said to them, if they really want to look for a very good disagreement in their house, they must go and buy something from the internet or at a place where you have to assemble the stuff yourself. Typically, what will happen is, we men will get the package. We will rip it open and start assembling the bits and pieces. Am I right? Yes. While the woman will grab the manual, and then the disagreement will start. In the end, the woman will either say, please continue. Do me the favor. Later, to see how this piece of furniture is falling apart and how the man's face is getting redder and redder. Or she will say, let me do it. And you can imagine the reaction then, while he looks on with amazement. And I think this is exactly how we live out our Christianity too. We can either read the manual, that is the Bible, and live our lives according to what we have read, or we can ignore it and see how our Christianity disappears out of the window. And in many cases, the manuals that we get from these places have no helpline telephone numbers to call for help or assistance. In our case, we have the support of God's Holy Spirit. We can just go on our knees and pray that He will help us when the pieces start falling apart. And maybe that is our biggest problem today. We do not read our Bibles enough. Because if we do, we will listen and be obliged to listen to God's biggest commandment of love. Then we will not struggle with love. We will not struggle to be hospitable, to be forgiving, to be humble, to be inclusive, not to judge, and never to seek revenge. if we listen to our society, if we listen to our world, we will always lack love for God and other people. And we will always feel unsatisfied. And we will always be without any hope. But we have received God's Holy Spirit. We have received the promise that whenever we go on our knees and ask for God to help us, He will. He will help us when life doesn't make sense. When we are struggling to understand what God is saying to us in His Word. When our lives are falling apart. When nothing makes sense. We have the luxury of speaking to God where and whenever we are. Can you imagine what the impact will be on our villages when we start living what the Bible tells us how to do? Can you imagine the difference prayer can bring in the lives, not of only ourselves, but also other people? Amen.